Please turn to the Gospel of Matthew, Matthew chapter 8. And I'll be reading verses 14 through 17. Now, reverence to God, please stand as his word is read. Matthew chapter 8, beginning in verse 14. When Jesus went into Peter's house and saw his mother-in-law lying in bed with a fever. So he touched her hand, and the fever left her. Then she got up and began to serve him. When evening came, they brought to him many who were demon-possessed. He drove out the spirits with a word and healed all who were sick, so that what was spoken through the prophet Isaiah might be fulfilled. He himself took our weaknesses and carried our diseases. You may be seated. As we're continuing our study in the Gospel of Matthew, remember, Matthew is a gospel written with a focus to the Jewish people, showing them the truth, showing them that Jesus is the promised Messiah. That's why often in Matthew, more than the other gospels, he said this was to fulfill. And he quotes the Old Testament scriptures. So those that were looking for Messiah are seeing the evidence of the prophecy about Messiah from the Old Testament being fulfilled in Jesus Christ. Jesus has just finished giving the Sermon on the Mountain, and that was chapters 5 through 7. And he taught about the attitude of how to be right with God is an understanding. You're not God. That God is God. You need to have that attitude that only God can forgive sins. Being humble and seeking forgiveness and the mercy from God. He's finished talking and he comes down from the mountain. He ended his message with, be a doer of the word and not someone that hears only, by giving the parable of the man that built his house. One on rock, because he heard their message and applied what he heard, and the one that built on sand, who heard the message and didn't do anything about it. And then we see two miracles based on people that heard the message and applied it. First was a leper. He heard about Jesus. He knew Jesus had the power to heal leprosy. And there's no recorded healing of leprosy in Scripture in the Old Testament except for Miriam in Israel and Naaman from another country. So a leper, one that is covered with diseases and scabs, looks the part of sin, as sin looks and harms our appearance before a holy God. So the leper was disfigured by the disease of leprosy. He comes up to Jesus and he says, Lord, if you're willing, you can cure me. And Jesus says, I am willing. And he's cured. And he tells him to go show himself to the priest as a testimony to the priest, because they will have to say, this man has been healed. And then as their investigation goes on, they find out it's because of Jesus. And then there's a man that's not even Jewish, a Roman soldier. And he asked Jesus to heal his young slave. And he tells Jesus, you don't even need to come to my house. I know you have the authority. All you have to do is say the word, and it will be so. Said, I'm an officer in the army. All I do is tell the soldier under me to do something, he does it. And I am also having officers over me. They tell me to do something, and I do it. I know what it's like to be one in authority and one under authority. Just say the word. And Jesus says to those following him, I have not seen such great faith in all of Israel. Understanding the power and the ability of Jesus Christ. and the slave servant is healed. He then goes into Peter's house. He's been in the synagogue, we find out, from the other Gospels. He had left the synagogue and went to Peter's house. And the distance from the synagogue and Peter's house, where they say they are, is about the distance from the church to my house. If you go to Capernaum, the ruins there, where it might not even be that far. They're just right near each other. And Jesus was on his way to go to Peter's house. Now, being the Sabbath day in synagogue, you could only travel the distance to go from your house to the synagogue on Sabbath. And so, into Peter's house. And the other Gospels also tell us that his disciples were with him. So, here comes a big group. They just left church that morning, and they're going to Peter's house, just a stone's throw away. And they find Peter's mother-in-law in bed. Now think about this. It's the middle of the day. You don't lay down in bed in the middle of the day. That's a occurrence that it happens at night. But we know it's not nightfall yet, because it tells a little bit later when evening came. Also, at this time, there's so much to do that you don't lay down unless you're very, very ill. And Jesus sees her situation and has compassion on her. Look at chapter 9 in Matthew in verse 36 with another instance. Matthew 9:36. When he saw the crowd, he felt compassion for them because they were distressed and dejected like sheep without a shepherd. And then in chapter 15 of Matthew, in verse 32, Jesus called his disciples and said, I have compassion on the crowd because they've already stayed with me 3 days and have nothing to eat. I don't want to send them away hungry. Otherwise, they might collapse on the way. Jesus understood and had compassion on us. If we turn to Hebrews chapter 5, Hebrews chapter 5 and verse 14, it describes about Jesus understanding our infirmities. And that's not it. I'll have to get back to you on that. But Jesus was tempted in all ways as we are, yet without sin. And I probably wrote down the wrong chapter. Okay, but I'll get back to you on that. Hebrews 5:14 is another good verse. Probably could have been thinking about that when I wrote it down. Jesus is not someone you can say doesn't understand what I'm going through. He has faced every situation that we have, yet without sin. And Jesus saw Peter's mother-in-law, and he healed her. If we look at 1 Peter chapter 2, and verse 24, he himself bore our sins in his body on the tree, so that having died to sins, we might live for righteousness. By his wounds you have been healed. For you were like sheep going astray, but you have now returned to the shepherd and overseer of our souls. Now, Jesus died on the cross, for our forgiveness of our sin, not to cure us from disease. Some people say that Jesus took all our infirmities on himself, and so therefore a Christian should never be sick again. Well, I like what one commentator said. He also conquered sin and death, so therefore a Christian shouldn't die either. But that's not true. But what he's done is he conquered the power of sin and death, and he doesn't leave us in a sin-cursed world. But if you turn to Revelation chapter 21, we see when the perfect cure comes. Revelation chapter 21, beginning in verse 1. Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and the sea was no more. I also saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared like a bride adorned for her husband. Then I heard a loud voice from the throne. Look, God's dwelling is with humanity, and he will live with them. They will be his peoples, and God himself will be with them and will be their God. He will wipe away every tear from their eyes. Death will be no more. Grief, crying, and pain will be no more, because the previous things have passed away. All infirmity, all disease, all death will end in Christ's eternal kingdom. But until then, we have pain, we have sorrow, we have death. But there's a new day coming. Jesus healed Peter's mother-in-law. And she didn't do like some of us would do. You know, I've been sick all day. I'm just going to kick back for a while. No. She's got Jesus, Peter, and 11 other guests in the house. And she gets up and starts ministering to them. Peter's mother-in-law went back to work after she got the cure. And then when evening came, now why do they wait till evening? Well, the Jewish day goes from sundown to sundown. So at sundown, so sundown today, that's the beginning of tomorrow in our way we look at things. So it was the end of the Sabbath day at sundown. And they could carry people to Jesus then. Until sundown, they stayed in their homes, observing the Sabbath law. But then when sundown came, and Matthew specifically focuses on the demon-possessed, they brought the demon-possessed to Jesus, and he cast them out. Jesus has already shown his power over physical illness. Now he shows his power in the spiritual realm by kicking out demons that had inhabited people. And the word there for demon-possessed means demon-inhabited, not demon-oppressed. Like the demons are messing with your day. They're the ones that caused the car to break down. They didn't mess with you. They just messed with things around you. Well, Jesus healed the demon-possessed. And then it says he cured every illness. There was no one that was brought to Jesus that he did not cure. Now, the leper showed his faith by coming to Jesus. The centurion showed his faith by asking Jesus to heal his servant. But the ones that were brought to Jesus, he turned no one away. In the time of Jesus' ministry, the doctors were out of business. Jesus cured every disease that was going around. Now, Jesus, his actions flied in the face of the Jewish thought of the day. Jewish men would start their day with this prayer. Lord, I thank you that I was not born a slave, a Gentile, or a woman. And that's how they start the day. Well, Jesus healed the woman. Jesus healed the slave. And Jesus answered the prayer of the Gentile, the centurion. He was confronting the Jewish mindset. I'm a Jewish man. I've got everything going for me. And Jesus was showing, no. God gives his grace to all and his mercy to all that come to him. And then it says, this was done to fulfill scripture of Isaiah, which says, he himself took our weaknesses and carried our diseases. Turn me to Isaiah chapter 53. Isaiah, yes. Isaiah chapter 53, page 874. Now, I'm going to start in verse 1, and I'm going to read the whole chapter. But look at how Isaiah, hundreds of years before the birth of Jesus, foretold everything about Jesus. Isaiah 53, who has believed what we have heard, and to whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed? He grew up before him like a young plant, and like a root out of dry ground. He didn't have an impressive form or majesty that we should look at him, no appearance that we should desire him. He was despised and rejected by men, a man of suffering who knew what sickness was. He was like someone people turned away from. He was despised, and we didn't value him. Yet he himself bore our sicknesses, and he carried our pains. But we in turn regarded him stricken, struck down by God and afflicted. But he was pierced because of our rebellion, crushed because of our infirmities. Punishment for our peace was on him, and we are healed by his wounds. We all went astray like sheep. We all have turned to our own way, and the Lord has punished him for the iniquity of us all. He was oppressed and afflicted, yet he did not open his mouth. Like a lamb led to the slaughter, and like a sheep silent before her shearers, he did not open his mouth. He was taken away because of oppression and judgment. And who considers his fate? Who considered his fate? For he was cut off from the land of the living. He was struck because of my people's rebellion. He was assigned a grave with the wicked, but he was with the rich man at his death. Because he had done no violence and had not spoken deceitfully, yet the Lord was pleased to crush him severely. When you make him a guilt offering, he will see his seed, he will prolong his days, and by his hand the Lord's pleasure will be accomplished. After his anguish, he will see light and be satisfied. By his knowledge, my righteous servant will justify many, and he will carry their iniquities. Therefore, I'll give him the many as a portion, and he will receive the mightiest spoil, because he willingly submitted to death and was counted among the rebels. Yet he bore the sin of many and interceded for the rebels. We are those rebels that Jesus interceded for and died for. And chapter 53, matter of fact, all of the book of Isaiah talks about Jesus. Sometimes I refer to it as the fifth gospel because it talks about Jesus without using the name as much as Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Jesus fulfilled the scripture. He has come to heal our greatest illness, and that's the illness, the sickness of sin. The other infirmities that we have, are there temporarily. They'll be cured when we get to heaven. But think about the situation of the crowds that were following Jesus. They saw him heal the leper. Suddenly, fingers that had fallen off grew back. People on their deathbed rose to life. A touch of Jesus and a woman that was severely ill got up. He healed every disease that came to him. He cast out the demons. He took some crackers and some sardines and fed thousands. And a few short months later, all the people that saw this were saying, "Crucify him. Crucify him." They had seen the miracles, but they refused to accept Jesus because it meant they weren't in charge. And the same thing is true today. Many people will not accept the forgiveness of Jesus because it tells us in John, the first chapter of the Gospel of John, people love their sin and they would not come out of darkness because their sin would be exposed. If you say you need forgiveness, that means you're wrong. And people don't want to say they're wrong, even when they're wrong. And we're all wrong. Romans 3:23, "For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God." And all means all, right? And that's all it means. All means all. All have sinned. Everyone. And we all need forgiveness. But Jesus does not force us to accept his forgiveness. He went to the cross to bring forgiveness of sin. And his last words on the cross, or his words on the cross, "The Father, forgive them. They don't know what they do." And then his last words, "It is finished," which means paid in full. Our sin debt has been paid. If you got a bill and someone else offers to pay it, but you never give them the bill, you still have to pay the bill. Give your sin debt bill to God. He says, "Give it to me," but he's not going to take it from you. God offers forgiveness, but he doesn't force it. And then he calls us to go and share with others how they too can be forgiven. And we're to be God's light in the world, not like a Tasmanian devil light. Matthew 5:16, "Let your light shine before men, they may see your good deeds and praise your Father in heaven." Go show God's light to those you encounter. Stand with me for our closing prayer. Matthew, will you close us in prayer?